Avani Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton and former Compton College Board of Trustees and Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner by way of Community Education Network. And we are pleased to have our panel here this evening, Brother Ernest McBride Jr., historian and archivist for his father, Ernest McBride Sr., well-known community activist in Long Beach, where they named schools and recreation centers and recognized him as one of the premier movers of the civil rights movement in Long Beach, started NAACP of Long Beach as well as the Optimum Club. And just well-respected family institution in Long Beach, right there by the recreation center. Right, they live right down the street from there. And then we have Brother Ahi from Detroit, freezing. Brother Ahi is a strong, critical thinker and analyst of the movement, dealing with the cold weather in Detroit. But he's an all-weather soldier. He can still bright, brilliant, and have a deep thinking. We appreciate him being on from giving us the Detroit perspective of what's going on in the world. And we have Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana, the deep, deep soul, another deep thinker and critical analysis of what's going on in the world from the Southern standpoint. And we deeply welcome him for his wealth of knowledge and experience working with young people, as well as just working with the community in the South to become more political active, as well as conscious of their struggle. And we got Brother Rashiki Maskani, who is the hallmark and the platform analysis of this program. He's the one that put this platform together. I think we've been here over 5 years. How many years, Rashiki?
Five and counting,
and we've been in struggle and development, and we have a website, Community Education Network, where we have past videos and all the writing perspectives and some biographies of the various people on the panel. We want to welcome my sister, my friend, my colleague from Centennial High School alumni, Ms. Joanne Perry, who is a teacher herself and a mastermind of just consciousness in the community. She has a wealth of knowledge and experience raising their kids, and they're all super talented in music and in scholarship. And we deeply appreciate her tuning in this evening. And so we deeply appreciate everyone's on. Again, I'm Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, where I taught for 34 years, as well as former city councilman for the city of Compton and former Compton College Board of Trustees and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. Again, we want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner. Tonight, our subject is a very one that's dear to my personal heart, and this is my season, and this is my month. It's called Black History Month. And before I give my analysis, we're going to go around and get everyone else's perspective of what Black History Month means to them, if it means anything, and how they see the relevancy of Black History Month from their perspective, if they think it's relevant. Brother, we're going to start with you, Ernest. What do you think about Black History Month and how it's portrayed and how it got started and what's going on?
Well, to me, it's the best month because my granddaughter was born on the 4th of February. My one of my brother-in-laws was on the 5th. My birthday's on the 10th. My wife's on the 22nd. And Jerome's mother, my cousin, hers was the 20th. Mm-hmm. You know, so we really celebrate the whole month. And when they declared it Black History Month many, many years ago, you know, we was happy to see that. And we try to celebrate on it and watch the Black History programs. Watch one last night with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You know, he was hosting it, and it was telling about all the military guys, Congressional Medal of Honors, and how they always tried to prevent them, wouldn't put the black soldiers in on it. And he really gave some good programs that came on, I think it was Channel 501 or something like that. So I watched that. So I try to participate as much as I can and go, you know, and kind of remember the old time, because they gave a good program about the Buffalo Soldiers and how that got started. And then they talked about the blacks that had come through West Point, that Clifford, you know, how they was the first black graduate from West Point. And then they, after he got out, they kind of dogged him out later. So, but, you know, it's interesting to keep up with that. And they, you know, had programs about Sojourner Truth and about Black Moses with Harriet Tubman. And it's kind of good to keep that going, you know.
Okay, then good. Good enough. Brother Mashinda, what do you think about Black History Month? How do you think about it start, why it started, and what the perspective is, Brother Mashinda?
All right, good evening. Well, you know, just, I mean, it's what it is history, you know, and we're constantly building, you know, creating history as we move forward, you know, so record history, you know, it's important to bookmark or not, you know, to read, you know, to have information, resources available to reflect on, you know, like what happened in the past. You know, you know, the old saying is, you know, about the past, you don't know the past, you know, that kind of thing. So it's, I think it's very important. It's positive. Anything's like that is positive, because it's, you know, you salute the old warriors that came before us and opened up, you know, opportunities, or, you know, put their, you know, lives on the line, that type of thing. So I'm all for it, you know, as far as anything positive, I salute it. You know, I know it used to be Black History Week, and I remember back in school, we would recognize Black History Week, you know, and it was something in my household, you know, we talked about, we had books and things and reading up on it, you know, about Black History Week, different, you know, people that came before us, like I say, that the folks that, you know, provided, you know, like I said, put their lives on the line and made it, things more accessible, you know. But I mean, it's still, I mean, it's got things in place. But when you have something like Black History, but especially in a time like this, you know, where there's like anti-DEI and, you know, all these other little buzz things that they talk about, you know, it's good to celebrate it, you know, because, you know, they're trying to really dismantle or trying to force, you know, that the education, the history, not to be told, you know. So, but again, I'm in agreement. I mean, I'm listening to everybody tonight. You know, like I say, we discuss this every year, and it's a good thing on this show that the topic is, you know, talked about. And so that's it. That's all I have to say at this time.
Well, Mashinda, your analysis is always good. You and Brother Ernest, and we deeply appreciate you coming. Brother Ahi, you there? You on mute. Brother Ahi?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
all
sir.
Right. Brother Woodson, Carter G. Woodson, started this, I think, like in the 20s. And it started off as a week, like the second week in February. And it was, his intentions were to celebrate our history. I mean, what inspired him was like the birthdays of Lincoln and George Washington and Frederick Douglass, and he wanted race pride, or pride in our people. And for some reason, America doesn't look at our history as being American history. So he started celebrating the history of our people. And it went from a week, that second week. I don't know why it started in the second week, but it went from that 1 week, and now it's a month. And it's one of those things that started, you know, a small thing with us, but a lot of people now are acknowledging the month in February. Not only Black folk acknowledging it as a time to reflect on our contributions and the things that have happened to us, and how, in spite of it all, we continue to flourish and grow. And I think I mentioned it before, it's one of the greatest stories ever told. And it's good that we're telling it and keeping it going. And we especially need it today. I think our young people really need to start focusing on where their ancestors and forefathers went through, and the contributions made to this country and the world. It really turns out to be a wonderful thing, because you get to see all these documentaries and books and programs. And this is a good time to catch speakers. They come around, and different organizations bringing out the speakers and hearing their perspective and their contributions and other people's contributions. It's a cold time here in Detroit, but really a warm thing. It warms the heart. So this is really a special, not just a special time for you, Brother Ernest, but turns out to be a special time for everybody on this panel and all our people here. I really appreciate what Brother Woodson did. So, yeah.
Oh, good. Brother Rossi, how do you feel about Black History Month?
It's
relevancy and...
Well, Black history is the reason why we're here. You know, we live in this color context system. And so with that come colors. So there's colors, and we just happen to be a color in this system. And so we identify with being Black and the struggles that we've been through in order to even have Black History Month. Just tells you that a system that oppresses you just isn't, it's not enough to keep you from achieving and triumphing through all this negativity. And we celebrate it. Black, we celebrate all that we are. And you know, Brother Mashenda mentioned the DEI, and that's just Black history is a, we fight that. We fight things that comes our way, because all we have is us. So Black history is just special. So it's a special time, and we're the result of those. We stand on the back of all those strong people who got us to this point. And so we just keep it going. We're a part of the change agent to make us better than what we are. So I appreciate you guys coming week after week, contributing to Black history. Mm-hmm. And so we are the result of Black history, and we're the continuation of Black history in a positive light. That's how I see it.
All right. Joanne, you want to add anything? You're on mute. Are you there? Okay.
So I just got off. Well, Black history is good for me, because I come from a family that, really thought about it. They worked through it. My dad was one who actually pressed forward during the time in the 40s and the 50s. And then my son, who loves Black history, it's been good for me. I'm kind of like nervous here. It's good for me because I've been able to teach my children how important it is to be Black and to embrace that Blackness and to do what they have to do in society. And then I have grandchildren who now are doing the same thing. And then I have great grandchildren now who are doing the same thing. So it's really a family tradition for us that we continue to strive to remember that Blackness is important, that you love who you are, that you honor your Blackness, and you take it to wherever you're going to go. You don't let people tell you that you can't be something and you're not something when you are. And so I strive and to make sure my kids have already done that, and their kids are doing it, and now the great grandkids are doing it. So Black History Month to me is very important because my family paved the way. My grandfather, my great grandfathers, they all paved the way. They were entrepreneurs way back when. And so my mom always told us, be proud of who you are, be Black, and enjoy it and embrace it. And so it's important. And now, here in this century right now, with all the things going on, I want to make sure that my children and my great grandkids are really doing what Blackness is and striving towards the perfection. So that's it. I'm a little nervous, y'all. Okay.
No, you sounded good. We appreciate you, Joanne. It's Joanne Perry. We went to high school together, Centennial, for those who don't know her. And I hope you should tune in even for some of our other subjects as she develops her own Zoom Castle podcast. But listen, it's a one thing to think about Black History Month. And to give, our individual perspective, which is needed. That's beautiful. It's a different when you study it, when you study the historiology of history. The historiology is the science of history, how you put it together, why you put it together, which is very critical. I study all the time. I mean, with Dr. Karenga, through Taoism philosophy, we learn a lot because we read books and we study and we discuss things. And and plus I was a professor of Black Studies, so that motivated me to read and to really study the contributions of the great scholars and scientists and individuals that have contributed to our forward flow of history and development. But Black History Month is unique because Carter G. Woodson, when he started in February 1926, he only that, but see, very few people study Carter G. Woodson. Carter G. Woodson didn't really, I don't think he started college, high school until he was in his 20s. And then he went on and got a PhD from Harvard. But he was relentless and studying our history and bringing it forward because he felt that if I could teach the world about it, he came up in a time when they were demeaning Black people, that they were saying that we had no history. And I'll get into that in a minute. And that was not an accident that they taught us that we were savages and did not contribute anything to the development of civilization. And then John G. Jackson, along with Dr. Yusuf Ben Yochanan and Ivan Van Sertima and John Henry Clark and all the great historians and scholars and Jake Carruthers and A.C. Hilliard and all these great scholars began to write and develop information that contradicted the European perspective that we had no history. They even went to the pyramids. They didn't just talk about it. They traveled to Africa and they traveled around the world. Chancellor Williams, who wrote the book, The Destruction of the Black Civilization, who went blind studying, said he didn't go to Africa to study Black history. He went to Europe And they said, why'd you go to Europe? He said, well, because they stole all our stuff and put it in their museums. So I had to go to their museums to find out about our history, which was a very good notion, the destruction of Black civilization by Dr. Chancellor Williams. When you study the science of historia, the science of history, you begin to look at it from a different standpoint. But Carter G. Woodson was so insistent on proving the system wrong, the education system wrong, about our history and our culture and our values and our ethics and our morals as a people. He felt that if he could teach that to us, we'll feel better. But if he taught it to the world, they would treat us better. So that was his, people thought he was nuts because that's all he focused on. He didn't get married, he didn't get involved. That's all he did was just write and study. He started a magazine called The Study of Negro Life, History and Life. And as he said, it started off as Negro History Week in February 26th, which was very, very, very critical. It didn't become Black History Month until the 60s, so 1926. And when they taught it in art school, they generally brought out astronauts and athletes and entertainers. And they maybe brought out poets and things of this nature, what they call safe things. They never really focused on Hades and our struggles for civilization. And they definitely didn't talk about Nat Turner, and they definitely didn't talk about Denmark Vesey and Black people that rebelled. They talked about Black people that really complemented their perspective of achievement. Jackie Robinson, Breaking the Color Line, all those type of things. They put up, little pictures of them and things of that around the room. It's what they call safe perspectives of Black history that really talked about how white folks recognized them for their entertainment, athletic, scientific, or intellectual achievements, which is good. We needed that also. But Carter G. Woodson, he started it because Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln's birthdays were in February. That's why he chose February. Because a lot of people say, well, why we study at Black History Month in February, and that's the shortest month, they're cheating us. Well, the person that started it chose February. White folks never gave us any month. They didn't even give us a day. You understand? Or a minute. Because they said we didn't have no history. That's why they enslaved us. We were animals. We were treated like animals. We were branded. We were people property. Matter of fact, they said when you had to trace your families back, you don't go to birth at the county or certificates of human birth. You had to go to an area where it's property, animals and things like that, like they count the cows and stuff. But anyway, so Carter G. Woodson. In the 30s, he wrote a book called The Miseducation of the Negro, which is very critical. I'm talking about studying Black history. And it's not easy. Then he started the Association for the Study of Black Life, Negro Life, and Negro History. And like I said, during the Black Culture Movement of the 60s, in the later part of the 60s, when we went from Negro Student Union and Negro, which you can say Spanish mean Black. In Spanish were European, Spain is in Europe. And they participated in the Holocaust of enslavement of us. And a lot of people like to think that that was a derogatory term, the white folks, they changed the Negro and nigger and all of that. Because that's what they do, they always shorten names. But anyway, so in the 60s, during the Black Culture Movement, which many of us were a part of in the 60s, the Black movement was two parts, the liberation movement, the civil rights, and the Black power. The Black power is the one that pushed Black culture, Black arts, and Black consciousness. And that's when, in the latter part of the 60s and into the early 70s, that a lady at SC tried to say she started back as your mother. She didn't. We even started doing the student movements at the universities. But at the same time, what happened was they said we had so much history that we couldn't do it in a week. And that's why they stretched it to a month. Now, other people followed us. We were the first to start studying, taking off a month to study our history and our contributions. Now you got, the seniors got a month, the gays got a month, women got a month, the Mexicans got a month, they got 2 or 3 months. Even the Cinco de Mayo is a week, a day or so, which means May 5th. That's all Cinco de Mayo means. But it had nothing to do with their experience in America, except for the women movement and the gay movement and all of that that took on the month. But most of the Latino stuff had to deal with their struggles against Spain for liberation. And, but I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm just going to stay focused on Black History Month. So you study it. And so as Carter G. Woodson, pushed the Negro History Week and the Black movement pushed it to Black History Month because we had a Black Power movement and consciousness movement. And they just started the magazine, The Study of Negro History, where it was really a series of booklets that came out by that organization Carter G. Woodson started, as well as his book, The Miseducation of the Negro. But the miseducation of the Negro was not only by white people, it was by our parents and our teachers. They miseducated us also because of the people are afraid of deportation and they're talking about terrorism. You should have saw, you read and study our struggle. We've lived under terrorism way before deportation, way before the concentration camps of the Japanese. We had been living under terror ever since we've been here in America and still live under terror. We're going back to the movement. So after that, we been celebrated every month, but they have a theme every month. The Association for the Study of Negro or Black History, of Black Life and History, they put out a theme, an annual theme, and the theme this year is one that was the culmination. We are studying the culmination of Black achievement throughout the years. That's the theme. I'll read it to you. It says, let me get it. The 2026 Black History Month theme, designated by the Association of the Study of African American Life and History, and it's ASALH, is a century of Black history commemoration, marking 100 years, started in February of 2026, and now it's February of 2026. That's a 100-year celebration. first observance was in 1926, focusing on the impact of these celebrations of shaping identity. Remember that, shaping identity. Fostering pride and advancing equality, while also honoring the struggles and triumphs of Black labor and Black activism. And then they got a video that come out. Now, let me just say this to you. Sometimes I used to teach, like, I used to go to school. Roger Key had me speaking at Centennial Fellow almost every year. And it was predominantly Latinos that I was speaking to. And even when I speak out to white groups, I say, you may not know it, but you celebrate Black history every time you turn the light on. Because it was Lattimore who created the filament to go in the light, to make the light stay on. Thomas Edison just invented the light bulb, but he couldn't make it stay on. So, but it was what I just spoke about that created the filament that goes in to keep the light shining. Second, every time you driving in the car and stop at a red light, you celebrating Black people. Morgan, who created the red light and green light and things of this nature, the first signal, light signal in America. Every time you eat candy, it's Moshe who developed the refining of sugar to get it to the point that it wasn't toxic. And that's why you have refined sugar today, was because of this brother. Every time you go into 7-Eleven or PM and buy potato chips, the brother created the potato chip. And then I went on and on and on. And then I say, whenever you get heart surgery, William Hale. Whenever you get a blood transfusion, you're talking about Charles Drew. So I would tell them that you're indirectly celebrating Black history, but you don't know it because we don't study. Sometimes we don't study, and people never taught you that. You understand? And so, but going on, the critical thing is that Malcolm X, I studied with Dr. Karanga, who most people think is one of the most brilliant minds within our history and within our culture and struggle, who created Scott the philosophy, which I'm a student of for over since 1979. I've been studying it. And that's the study of the best of African thought and practices and sensitivities and ongoing exchange with the world as far as that philosophy is concerned. And anyway, Malcolm X, by way of Dr. Karanga, says that one reason we study history is its lessons. Remember, Malcolm said that the history is the best science that rewards all research. If you, that's one of his key comments and quotes. And it's life lessons. And as you study Black history, you learn the mistakes of the past and the successes of the past. And so that's why Malcolm and others look at one of the key elements of why we study history is to get life lessons and lessons of what how to be a better person and how to learn from our parents. Because there are different parts of history. There's written history, there's oral history, and then there's lived life history. Your parents may not have written down their history, but their life is a history. And how they lived and how they treated you is a part of your history. Everybody have a history. I'll get into that in a minute. Then Garvey said the second Malcolm First lessons, Garvey said, to absorb the spirit of possibility. What did Marcus Garvey mean when he said that? According to Dr. Karanga, he meant that what humans have done, they can do again. What they've done in the past, from building the pyramids, being the first doctors, women being the first architect, creating the first wheel, the first fire stick, controlling fire. That's why you have microwaves today, and that's why you have ovens today. That's very critical for you to understand that we can do it again. We creativity has not stopped. That's why John Johnson, when he started Ebony and Jet Magazine, he went and borrowed some money from his sisters and relatives to get it started. Barry Gordy borrowed from his family to get his empire started, Motown. And that's very critical. We're talking about successes. There have been many businesses that failed, but you focus on the ones that won, that were successful, to learn from them, but you also focus on the ones that fail to learn from them so you don't fail. You understand? That's why all scientists say every experiment is a success, even if it don't work out, because you learn what didn't work. So Garvey said that in many ways. And then Mary Bethune said that we are a people that's responsible for the continuation of our greatness. She built Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona, Florida. She just got off a bus or something, or train, and said, I'm going to build a university. And didn't have no money. And created an institution that still stands today. So we look at that. And see, the reason people don't want to deny your history, not you don't deny it, but white people deny it. That's the way they take away our humanity. Do you understand that? That's very important. So the more history you have, the more human you are. You understand? That's why when you meet somebody, you want to know their history. When you go and study anything, you want to know its history. And so this is why the European worked so hard to take away our history, to justify him mistreating, demeaning us and enslaving us and doing these negative things toward us and creating a culture of despisement of us. People didn't want to live around us. People, all kind of rumors and things that they put out about us. They even said we grew tails, all kind of stuff. Then it goes on to say that we also study history, not only because of the excellence, models of excellence that as Bethune talked about, but also morality of remembrance. These are all coming from Kawi the philosophy. Morality of remembrance. It's our duty and responsibility to remember, to recognize those that have passed on, those that are still here, and take those life lessons and inject them into our family members, as Joanne was talking about, teaching our kids and our children and grandchildren about their culture, about their family. That's what the so-called thing that you go and check genealogy, going back into your genealogy is all about. You know, and that's very, very important from that standpoint for some people. Morality, remember, history, humanity. And The other thing is that, identity is very important. When you think about culture, it gives you identity, purpose, and direction. Many of our people have accepted America as their identity. So they try to be better Americans, which is okay. That's what you choose. But to be a better Black person, you have to see your identity and purpose from your cultural scholars and cultural contributions and development. It's not easy, brothers and sisters, to take Black History Month as a sacred month. As a month, not that we don't study Black history year round, because I taught for 34 years year round. I taught summer school, I taught winter, I taught the regular semesters and the college level. And Rasha Key is a teacher at school. He taught all the way up to the summer. And then if you taught summer school, so, it's always a constant thing. But the most important thing is that we learn the science of history and why. It's not just you tell your people about historical events and personalities that give you identity, give you humanity, give you role models to emulate, and progressive corrections for mistakes. That's very important. Once you know who you are, it don't matter where you are. The struggle is a continuous one about our freedom to be ourselves. And being ourselves means our African cultural, ethnic origin of existence. The anthropological science of the Black identity goes all the way back to the anthropological origin of our existence. When you go to the La Brea tar pits and you dig up bones, they have no problem telling you the history of the dinosaur, the caveman, and all of the origin of prehistoric civilization. And you accept it. When you go to Africa and you dig up bones, like right now they got mummies at the museum. Most of them out of Egypt. Those are grave robbers. Go in there and, the white man's a trip. He go in the pyramids. Those are tombs. That's what people have buried. He don't say he's going there looking for treasures and diamonds and gold. He going in there looking for anything that he can make money on. So once he take the diamonds and gold, he said, well, let's take this body and put it on tour and charge people to come see it. You understand? He's a sick puppy. He's a really sick guy. But he won't put it in the context that he's grave robbing. You understand? Sacred places where people are born. That's what pyramids were for. But anyway, the whole point is that the foundation of all understanding, if you want to understand anything, you deal with its history, its origin of existence. And our origin of existence is the continent of Africa. I ain't talking about where we're born, like Malcolm said. If a cat climb up in the oven and have kittens, you don't say those are biscuits. Just because you're born in America and based upon how they treat you, you still ain't an American. Like Malcolm said, I ain't an American. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I ain't even an American and got sense enough to know it. But anyway, getting back to the points that we're trying to study, and that's the history of culture and values and ethics and morals. Where did these morals, where did religion come from? What was the Ethiopian Coptic Church, one of the first churches on earth? Ethiopian Coptic Church. And when Dr. Venn wrote the book, The Three Major Western Religions, he dealt with the origin of Christianity, of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Judaism is the First Testament, Christianity is the Second Testament, and Islam is the Quran. We call them the major Western religions because millions of people are in both of those, all three of those religions, and they're all over the world. They're the sub-religions. You know, saying? You had people worshiping lunar gods, all kinds of gods. God at one time just meant a person of knowledge. That's all it meant. You know, Goa. You know, God of all, you know, people that had unique thinking qualities to move civilization. So they deified them. Gods used to walk around on earth. You know, they went in the sky and things of this nature. And as Dr. Ben always said, people create gods. Gods don't create people. People create gods. And so those are, those, but that's a different argument. I'm not saying there's no creator. And you can call them Jesus, you can call them Islam or whatever you worship. They're all the same. You're giving them credit for being the creator of life and things of this nature. And that's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. The oldest historical book is the Holy Bible, the most read historical book. That's a historical book. You understand? You tell the way it's written and translated three or four times. And there were 200 biblical books before the Holy Bible. You understand? But people, I ain't going to get into all of that. You understand? Because I don't want to lose you. You understand? But you, hey, you understand? Y'all put me on the cross. You understand? Nail my hands and crucify me. You understand? Say, you don't, thy shall not kill. You understand? But I understand that. I'm not going to get into to all of that. But studying opens your mind to the reality of life. And the reality of aspects that we're going in. So I'm going to stop now and see if there's any response. We're going to start with you, Ernest, and respond to my comments.
Well, you kind of hit up on something that's always with me about God, you know, and then after all these years, I just boil it down to there is a creator out there. Now, whether you want to call him God or Muhammad or whatever, you know, so I think, because I can't say, you know, so many religions, because like I grew up under Christianity, but then I thought once I heard a little bit about Buddhism and some of the other religions, if they was here before, this one, why are we saying this is the right one? So I just put it up in my mind, there is a creator out there that maybe created life, and that's where I leave it. But like Mashinda was saying about when he brought up Carter G. Woodson, you know, you learn something new every day. I didn't know he started the Black history, because when I got into genealogy on my family, I studied a little bit about Carter, not about his life, but just about the anthropology stuff that he did. In 1820, he government tasked him to find out how many free Blacks there were in America, and he found over 200,000 families were free. They were never slaves in 1820. And then 10 years later, 1830, he found out it was over 300,000. So they were never really slaves. And he listed a lot of the names in the book that were free Blacks. And one of my neighbors down the street, his name was Goins, G-O-I-N-S. And I saw his name in there, and I tease him about that all the time. I say, man, your family probably enslaved mine, because you were free, and my name McBride is a slave name, you know. So I tease him about that. But the religion thing, that's why I never got into, you know, a lot of the stuff they saying, I can't buy that, because you know, you'll find another religion over here that started way before yours. So, and then the thing about the Bible, you got prophets that wrote it, and they're saying, well, this came from God. Well, how do I know that? You're telling me this. A preacher, he's sitting there telling me this about this book, but I don't really know if that's true or not. And then those lost tablets, they never come out with that, you know, printed those lost books that they supposedly found. And then they're saying, well, the reason is too heavy for people to know about it. Well, you scholars know about it, so why can't the rest of us know? You know, so to me, as you know, it's just a, hey, if you, I always felt in my heart, if I treated everybody right and respected, you know, other people's rights, then I'm in a good spot. You know, I don't need to go to church or do this and that. I don't need to take that in and let that guide me, because let your heart be your guide. That's kind of how I looked at it all these years, even though I grew up under it. But that's because my parents, that's what, my mother was real religious in the church. My mother was, you know. So, but you can't really prove it. I'm the kind of guy, hey, if I can't prove it, it doesn't mean it's not true, but it doesn't mean it is, you know, it doesn't mean it isn't. So it's just something that you never know. I guess you never know till you get out of here. You know, I always told my dad, he said, with a, used to tell me, well, the greatest thing about religion, it made dying easier. That's what he looked at. You know, because when you on your deathbed and you get religious or somebody pray, man, it makes you feel, it'll probably make you feel better, because you don't know where you're going, you know. And I used to kind of tease him. I said, well, you better try to get some kind of religion now, believe in something, because once you go, you don't want to get to the pearly gates or wherever you're going and then find out it was true. So for me, it's like you said, but I didn't know Carter G. Woodson, you say he had an organization now that still does some of his work.
It's still printing. And they have an annual thing, the brother Ahi, any comments or response?
Yeah, I thought you beautifully put, you and Ernest both, the really poignant points, and like that our history is our story. It's, that's how we're defined, and it's pretty straightforward and truthful, which is so important. The evidence shows, from the writings of witnessing events to photographs, movies, videos, and people's interviews. It's pretty straightforward and it's pretty truthful. And we were indoctrinated in this, in our educational system, and still are being indoctrinated. Nothing is truthful. It's always something left out or a straight out lie. And we grew up with that. And being indoctrinated like we are, it's difficult for people to get away from that, standing in the way of their own liberation. The way they think, and eventually how you think is how you act and how you move. So I'm thankful for this month. As you said, it's year round thing. We're always teaching, we're always learning, but here we're putting the emphasis on it. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the truth, to be able to look at my people and how great we are and the contributions that we make. 30 million, 40 million people influence the world. And despite the many efforts that the people here put into holding us down, look at the contribution. We are a great people, and it is important that we know these things. Like you were saying earlier, Professor, about the inventions. There's a book out saying that Black folk invented everything here in America. And I intend on getting that. But not only from inventions, but from the spiritual standpoint. We say, Ernest, you were talking about religion. We saved the white religion. They were so sterile. They didn't know nothing about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. They were like getting ready to be passé. We were the model for about how to get that Holy Spirit. Saved a lot of the white religions. So, and the Coptic Church still exists. And I don't know why people are running over there to Palestine. They should be going to Ethiopia, where the oldest church in the world exists right now. That's where the history is, if you want to talk about being close to God. So, yes, our history.
That's what Dr. Ben said. You won't go to heaven, it's in the sky, but they bury you in the ground.
Dig that.
You go in the wrong direction.
Yes, sir.
My doctor said Ethiopia is the motherland. Every time you went on vacation, you say he's going to the motherland.
Yeah. Brother Mashinda, you still here? Brother Mashinda? He may have stepped out, I'm not sure. Roger Key, you have any closing comments?
Yes, it's extraordinary, the things you guys bring up and talk about. Ernest was saying he didn't know if these things are true or not when it comes to religion. I always go to a quote by Ziggy Marley when he was with the Melody Makers when he was younger. And they had a song called What's True. And he said, there are many stories, both old and new, what is true. And that's I think that's very significant, because when you're studying history and you find out these things, it seemed that the Black history is most accurate and true. You know, then you have these other stories that's being told. It don't seem believable, you know, at times. But I would say, gathering from all of the information I've been taught and heard all of these years, that Black history is the closest to human history, because the humanity is shown in all aspects, and then we have this other entity that runs around here that tries to destroy everything in its sight. And that tells you that whatever that is, that's not human history. That's demon history. So I think Black history is human history, and very significant for the continuation of life versus the trying to get rid of life and trying to get rid of the source that all life come from, which is Black. So, you know, it's very, very interesting sitting with you gentlemen on a weekly basis, talking about the greatness of us. It's a beautiful thing. And it all started for me when I met Professor Ra back in the late 80s, or I think it was like 89, something like that. And I've been having a successful life ever since, in my opinion, you know, as far as enlightenment, So that's what Black studies do for me in Black history. It's enlightenment, and it gives me incentive to do what I do and to become better than what I am. And hopefully that's what's happening.
But
Yeah.
see, the
And that's
universe.
why I love this program, because see, I didn't get that opportunity coming through school to attend the Black History class. I've never been in it. I just got a piecemeal from hearing Malcolm back in the 50s, and then some of my buddies here, Earl Satchel and Zahid and guys that were Muslims. You hear piecemeal from them because a couple of them had their kids run on my track team, and then I hear it kind of piecemeal. But that's why I love this program, because I'm getting a learning session here, where a lot of things I missed out on.
Yeah, but you contribute also to our learning. But let me just say this. The university is supposed to study everything that they possibly can. They got all kind of majors at the college. All kind. A science department, they got about five different majors or six. In the history, there's different concentrations of history. In literature, there's different majors, different perspective, and education, early education, childhood education. You understand? But when it came to us, we couldn't study ourselves. They didn't want us to study ourselves because it empowers you to not fear them, to not see yourself the way they tell you you are. You formulate your own self-determination. You learn to think, as Malcolm said, and you see the world different. You develop a liberation mentality. Even though you may be in an oppressive situation, you're still free because you think freedom and you see freedom. Our people who were chained and bound and whipped and tortured to pick cotton and to pick and to do labor for this system for 100 years, saw dogs running free, saw horses running free, saw wild animals running free, saw birds running free. And they asked, they said, what the hell am I doing in chains? So let me struggle to get out of them. They don't want to teach you that. See, our people lived this way. Nobody wrote them a book. They separated them so they couldn't even talk to each other. You understand that if you came from the same language group, you were sold to a different plantation. They didn't want you congregating. But we still fought and struggled. And the white man tried to tell you he freed you. He don't tell you about Hades. He don't tell you about Nat Turner. He don't tell you about Harriet Tubman. He don't tell you about Denmark Vesey. He don't tell you about John Brown. He don't tell you about the black people and even white allies that contributed to our freedom. And Indian, Native Americans, that's where the Seminoles come from. They mean runaways. Okay? I mean, it's just a beautiful thing once you get to studying. It opens your eyes.
Professor Ron,
Yes.
my brother Barry's here. He wanted to make a contribution.
All right. Go ahead, Barry.
Barry? Wonder what happened. I just talked to him.
Hello?
Yeah, Barry, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, what's up, brother Ron? How you doing, Professor? And I really appreciate the points that you bring out today. I really do. And I gotta say, I agree. And I just think back as a child, my grandparents was always pressing, pressing, pressing for us to all get baptized. But my mother and father gave me the option whether I wanted to do it or not. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it, because it just didn't make sense for the other things that they exposed me to. And the darndest thing about it, into the religion part of it, is that they got here and quoting all this stuff and this and that. And by the time they brought us over here off the slave ships, they stripped you of your language. They stripped us of what our religion was. And then they gave you this new religion that you could not even possibly begin to understand because you couldn't read it. It's just no way. And it was all designed to keep you, you know, praising them. And that's why every time you walk into a place in church and I look up, I have to see a big image of a white Jesus that just don't sit right with me. Mm-hmm. But all of that was all designed to keep you under control. And as I talked about, that's what it is. Once you enter into the confines of the universe, this thing ever, and this point is well taken, it's like a million different disciplines in science, and 7, 8 different disciplines in the concentration of history. But one of the best things that ever happened to me at the university is that I took a couple of religion classes, alternative religions. And it just kind of broke it all down. It's like, wow, and you get to understand it, what it is and what it's really all about, and that it was really, you know, a mix of control, especially when they were breaking down the concepts of heaven and hell. And that was a part to pacify you, to make us believe, well, I'll catch all this hell while I'm here, and we get mistreated while I'm here, but that's all right, because when we die, it'll be better. Which is crazy, because, you know, as the minister once said, Mr. Farrakhan once said, he said, heaven and hell are two conditions, and both of them is right here on this earth. You got to wait till you die to enjoy it. Mm. But that's just the way they want to do it. It was just another facet of control. And once people get to understand, you know, to begin to free ourselves, that's why I got so much respect for Carter G. Woodson. And once we get to understand and study our own history, and get to truly know thyself, it really liberated your mind to really move you toward being free. Is there a higher being? Most certainly it is. But it's not the way that they told it. And when you take those other religion classes and read it from their own books, it tells you that. They just don't talk to you about it. And it's just the amazing thing. So I appreciate the topic and the conversation this evening, Professor Ron. I really appreciate the perspective that you brought because it just made it easier to comment on. And I'm in wholehearted agreement. But I just tell, read a book, study yourself. You know, and sometimes it's difficult for us because they done had 450-year head start over indoctrinating us with other stuff. My mother right now is at the rehab hospital, and usually a lot of people from her church go on certain days, and I always don't like to go that day because I don't feel like having a conversation. And then they'll say something to me, well, you tripping off the wrong thing, bro. You know, they tell me, God ain't got no color. I said, really? And then I say, well, how come he's white on your windows? If he ain't got a color, change it. And if they want to tell me, I don't believe. It ain't that I don't believe. I just don't believe what they told you to believe. And I'm not going to accept that. And the studying of our own history and being able to get to a couple of and research and learn was the best mix of freedom I've ever had in my life. Understand what it is and what it ain't. So I'm most appreciative of the subject matter tonight, Professor Ron. And brother, thank you,
guys. Let me just say this to you, man. Every degree we've earned, every book we have, may it be Durkheim in sociology, may it be Marx in socialism, it ain't no different from the black books that we read. It's just their perspective. But they grade us on what we learned from their scholars. You sit there and you read those books and you study them to get your grade so you can graduate. And it gets into your mind, your psyche. You understand? And you be thinking that those books are so valuable. And it costs so damn much now. Books cost more than your registration.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and you be saying, well, why are we studying Durkheim? You never asked that because the teacher said this is the classroom book. We don't research the authors. You understand? We don't, you know, we just take it as a, I got to study this. Whereas we, and that's why they didn't want Black studies to come into being. Because it puts our scholarships on their level. See, me as a professor, I got an opportunity to give grades and tell people what to study. That's power, man. You come in my class, you got to listen to Farrakhan. You don't look at a video of Malcolm. You don't look at a video of Dr. Ben, Francis Press Welsing. You understand? From our standpoint, at a white university. You understand? Predominantly white university. It had white people in there. You understand? And Arabs. Because when we started Black studies, we made sure our classes was equal to the white classes. They had to change their whole curriculum to accommodate us. When we first started, you can get over 18 units from one department of GE requirements. They cut it down to you only could get X amount, 3 or 4 units, or 6 units. And you had to go out to other departments to get GE requirements, upper division. I'm just telling you. I mean, man, your major is just what, 36 to 45 units. It takes 124 to graduate. What are the other units in? They call it optional electives, and they call it a minor. But you have to get 124 units. Sometimes your major is just 36 for years. It was just 36 units. You understand? And when we drafted the first degree in Black Studies, we used the same formula that sociology used, 36. What did they do? Go get a sellout Uncle Tom Negro to be the department chair, and he boosted it up to 45 and said you had to get 6 units outside the major. You understand? Just to accommodate white people. You understand? And he could have left it at the 36. But that's why it takes 40-some units to get a degree in Black Studies. You understand? But a lot of units aren't in Black Studies. You understand? I mean, you'd be surprised at the games that they play. But anyway, Rasha, can you tell us about tomorrow?
All right, let me show you. Let me show you. Yeah, share the screen. So tomorrow we have attorney Larry Fields, and we're going to be talking about Dr. Martin Luther King and self-reliance. That's the topic for tomorrow. And then on Thursday, Shaka Man wasn't able to come last week, so we scheduled him again for this week. But we're going to have Shaka Man.
All right.
On the Roots Reggae Reasoning session.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, hey, I want to tell everybody, deeply appreciate comments and perspectives. And we love all y'all. And we're going to keep on pushing. Keep on moving. Keep on studying and keep on teaching. Each one teach one, as Rasha Key say. I heard that song, Each One Teach One, that you wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, then you need to play it when we start. You did. All right. Tutana to everybody.
Tutana. Conscious Corner and And each one teach one.
Yes, sir.
Black history.